What is the problem with this idea of faith? Well, we have two issues, right? One of the issues is getting people to come to faith, right? If I had half the people that I witness to come to faith, that would be great. There'd be a lot of saved people. Unfortunately, it rarely works that way. Sometimes it does, right? Sometimes you're just like right on the cusp of a revival, or somebody's particularly anointed in that area. But in the meanwhile, we get the word out the best we can, and some people will accept, most people don't. But we keep moving forward. But as sad as it is that most people don't receive our message, it's equally as sad the number of people that fall away, right? The number of people that do not persevere through to the end. In Hebrews chapter 3, we're going to get some advice on how to not fall away. What have we done so far? Hebrews chapter 1 lifts up the Messiah, right? Messiah is eternal. The angels are changeable. Remember that? And why is that such a big deal? Because the message we heard from Messiah is so much more powerful than the message we heard as delivered from angels, right? And that message delivered by angels was the Torah, okay? And if you don't believe me, you'll have to go back and listen to the earlier sermons on our website. But according to Galatians and Stephen's speech in Acts chapter 7 and Hebrews as well, the Torah was delivered as through angels. And this is a Jewish concept. It's not explicit in the Torah, but it's in Jewish writings in the New Testament as well. And he's saying, if you've heard from angels, and that word stands, how much more so the word delivered by the very Son of God who never changes. Okay, and so we have that idea. In chapter 2, we have this beautiful idea of the Messiah coming down and becoming like us, right? Since we share in flesh and blood, he came down and shared in flesh and blood. He didn't keep away. He wasn't like the Greek gods or any other god, right? That just, you know, I'm up here and you're down there, and I might command a lightning bolt here and there, but mostly I'm separated from you. Our God is different. Our God said, you know, I'm going to become just like you, right? I'm going to take on flesh and blood to fix the human condition, right? And I'm not only going to become like you for a little bit of time and then float back up to heaven like Zeus used to do. I'm going to taste of suffering and death. And that's going to be the answer for you, okay? And so we get this incredible message. The author of Hebrews keeps saying, don't lose that message. Don't fall away from it. All right, and here in chapter 3, Hebrews 3, verses 1 through 2, therefore, holy brothers, do we have that on the PowerPoint? Great. Therefore, holy brothers, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider the emissary and high priest of our confession, Yeshua, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as also Moses was in all his house. We're gonna pick Hebrews chapter 3 apart a little bit before we get to capsulizing what the main message is. So here we've got this idea of Yeshua as the emissary, or your translation may say the apostle, and the high priest. Those two are usually not the same thing. In fact, I can't think of a single instance where those are wrapped up in the same entity like they are in the Messiah, because the emissary, the apostle, is one sent from God, and the high priest is one that represents people to God. Yeshua fulfills both of those roles perfectly. He's the perfect messenger from God to bring us the God's message, right? And to be the radiance of God to us. He came from God to us. And he's also from us, becoming a man, he was able to become the perfect high priest to represent humanity before God. Just a beautiful picture there. Moving on, Hebrews 3, starting at verse 3. Verse 3. Do we have that? Thank you. For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Okay? So here again, we get the contrast between before is Yeshua is greater than the angels. Now it's going to be Yeshua is greater than Moses. For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, because he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were afterward to be spoken, but Messiah is faithful as a son over his house. We are his house if we hold fast our confidence and the glorying of our hope firm to the end. And this comes from Numbers chapter 12, which I think we also have on the PowerPoint. He's alluding to this passage here. He said, "Now hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision. I will speak with him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so. He is faithful in all my house." Okay, so this is where Hebrews gets that wording from. "With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even plainly and not in riddles, and he shall see the Lord's form. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant?" Against Moses. How dare you speak against Moses? Who's he talking to here? Anybody remember Numbers 12?
To
his brother and sister. Yes, to his brother and sister, to Aaron and Miriam. And they were coming against Moses because he married somebody they didn't approve of, right? A Cushite. And how dare you speak against Moses, who hears from the Lord mouth to mouth, right? And if Moses gets this kind of respect as the faithful servant in the house, how much more so the builder of the house? How much more? For it says here in Hebrews chapter 3, going back to verses 3 and following, "For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, because he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God." Yeshua is the builder of the house. He who built all things is God. What can you say but that Yeshua is God, right? Yeshua is the perfect radiance. What other term does he use? The perfect imprint of his being. The perfect builder in place, revealing God to us as the builder of the house. Okay? So he's the builder of the house. He's worthy of more glory than Moses. Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were afterward to be spoken, but Messiah is faithful as a son over his house. We are his house if we hold fast our confidence in the glorying of our hope firm to the end. Remember what I said? Maintaining that, right, to the end. The number of people that fall away from the faith is very sad, right? We have to hold on to the end, the writer is telling us here. Moving on, next slide. Hebrews 3, verses 7 through 11. "Therefore, even as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as in the rebellion, like as in the day of the trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my deeds for 40 years. Therefore I was displeased with that generation and said, they always err in the heart, but they don't know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they will not enter my rest." And this is taken from Psalm 95. Okay? And there's a couple of things we need to focus on here. First thing we need to focus on is they always err in the heart. The falling away starts in the heart. We have to check where our heart is. Where is our heart? And how do we check where our heart is? In the presence of the Ruach HaKodesh. Notice how it starts here. Hebrews 3, verse 7. "Therefore, even as the Holy Spirit says." Okay? In the Greek, as in the English here, that's in the present tense. First of all, notice that he didn't say, as the psalmist said, or as somebody has written, as the Holy Spirit, present tense, says. The Holy Spirit is speaking, and what is the first word today? The first word is today. He doesn't say, as so-and-so said many years ago, make sure you hear his voice. Today, if you hear his voice. First of all, the psalmist takes this idea of the rebellion in the desert and applies it to his day. And now the Hebrews is saying that word still is pertinent for us today. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, so we have got to make sure our heart is in the right place, and it's in the right place if we are receptive to the Holy Spirit, to the Ruach HaKodesh. Go to the next slide, please. Let's take a look at a difficult portion here, one that has kept many of people awake at night, wondering, am I going to hell? Matthew 12, verses 31 through 32. Therefore, I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, Yeshua speaking of himself, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, neither in this age nor in that which is to come. Did I say something against the Holy Spirit? Did I think something against the Holy Spirit? Is there any hope for me? Am I just going to hell? All right, what is this saying here? It's saying the same thing Hebrews is saying. Today, if you will hear his voice, as the Holy Spirit says, present tense, the Holy Spirit speaks today. If you will hear his voice today, what excludes us from the kingdom of heaven? What excludes us from being able to move forward in perseverance, that hardened heart that will not listen to the Holy Spirit? That's all this is saying. Yeshua is saying to the Pharisees, because he had worked miracles and cast out demons, they say, oh, by Beelzebub. By the prince of demons, he's casting out demons. The work of the Spirit of God was being made manifest in their presence. The work of the Spirit of God was being made manifest in their presence, and instead of being open to the Holy Spirit, okay, it's not like they rejected Yeshua because, well, this is not the way I see things, right? It's not like they searched the scriptures. I'm not quite sure. Was he really born in Bethlehem, like Micah says? Maybe we need to research that. Does he really match what Isaiah says? Is he really a son of David? Let's research this, right? It's not like it's that kind of rejection of the Son of Man. It's a rejection of the Holy Spirit that would have opened their eyes to Yeshua. Right? It's a rejection of the Spirit that speaks to this day and says, today, if you will harden your, do not harden your hearts, right? Do not harden your hearts today. We've got to make sure that we're listening to the Spirit. We're going to persevere by listening to the Spirit of God. Let's go back to Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 19. Beware, brothers, lest perhaps there might be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief and falling away from the living God, but exhort one another day by day, so long as it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Messiah if we hold the beginning of our confidence firm to the end. There's that idea again. We got to hold on to it till the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, when they heard, rebelled? Wasn't it all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? With whom was he displeased 40 years? Wasn't it with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? To whom did he swear that they wouldn't enter into his rest? But to those who were disobedient, we see that they weren't able to enter in because of unbelief. Passover is my favorite holiday, I think, right? Spiritually, right? It points us to Messiah. It's a time of gathering together around the table. I love Passover. I love the horseradish. I love Passover, and Passover, I think it's ingenious. A lot of it's not you know, a lot of the traditions aren't, they were developed around biblical ideas, right? But they were developed by the rabbis and done brilliantly. This idea of, we want you to feel like you were in slavery and you came out. Therefore, you eat the horseradish, right? And the bitter herbs and the salt water. And then you experience the joy with the cups of wine and so forth. And we think, yes, they came out of Egypt. All right, victory. And what happened? Every one of them died in the wilderness. Their children had to go in. They didn't persevere, right? And so he's saying it's not good enough they came out of Egypt. They died in the wilderness, right? Who was he talking to when he said today, if you harden your hearts? Who was it who he swore wouldn't enter his rest? The same ones that came out of Egypt. And so you have to make sure your heart's in the right place. Let's go to Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9. Do we have that up on the slide? On that day, Yeshua went out of the house and sat by the seaside. Great multitudes gathered to him so that he entered into a boat and sat, and all the multitudes stood on the beach. He spoke to them many things in parables, saying, "Behold, a farmer went out to sow. As he sowed, some seeds fell by the roadside, and the birds came and devoured them. Others fell on rocky ground where they didn't have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of earth. When the sun had risen, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. Others fell among thorns. The thorns grew up and choked them. Others fell on good soil and yielded fruit, some 100 times as much, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then a few verses down, starting at verse 18, he gives the meaning. Here's what that parable means. "Hear then the parable of the farmer. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away that which has been sown in his heart." These are the ones who just never grasp it, right? These are the ones that we witness to and they just can't, right? Maybe they know that if they surrender to the Lord, they have to give up their favorite sins. Or maybe they just can't grasp it, right? Maybe their ears are just closed to it for whatever reason, okay? Verse 20, "What was sown on the rocky places, this is he who hears the word and immediately with joy receives it, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. When oppression or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." And this is the one that we find out in Hebrews is, the writer of Hebrews is concerned about this. Will you withstand persecution? Will you hang on to that faith to the end, no matter what comes? "What was sown among the thorns, this is he who hears the word. But the cares of this age and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." Right? I want to follow God. I want to follow God. Boy, that looks nice over here. It's not of God, but maybe if I just dabble a little bit, before you know it, you're wrapped up in what? You're wrapped up in sin. You're wrapped up in not understanding that God is your refuge. So you look for refuge other places. You get distracted. You can't get distracted, right? You've heard the word. You've received the word with joy. Do you have the roots to withstand the persecution? Do you have the focus to not be pulled away by the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of the world? Verse 23, "What was sown on good ground, this is he who hears the word and understands it, who most certainly bears fruit and produces some 100 times as much, some 60, and some 30. Where is our heart, right? Where is our heart? Our heart needs to be that fertile ground for the word of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 3, starting at verse 12. "Beware, brothers." Go ahead and go to that verse. "Beware, brothers, lest perhaps there might be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief and falling away from the living God. But exhort one another day by day, so long as it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Let's take a look here at this one verse here. Exhort one another day by day. Okay? What does that word exhort mean? Okay? Lift up. It's got many meanings, and that's certainly one of them. Encourage. Good. Okay? The Greek there is parakaleo, and BDAG, the standard reference for looking up a lot of biblical words, it says this. It's got all these meanings. To call to one side. Come be here beside me. To urge strongly. Appeal to. Urge. Exhort. Encourage. To make a strong request. Implore. Entreat. To instill someone with courage or cheer. Comfort. Encourage. Cheer up. All these things are what we should be doing for one another. Right? There are two ways that we are going to stand firm. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit, and we need to encourage one another. We need to exhort one another. Right? I remember when I was on a soccer team way back in middle school, and we had crazy parents. They would yell at the ref when they didn't agree with the ref, and you know, you know, they were just crazy, right? And my parents got into it. My dad, who hardly says anything, out there yelling at the ref and this and that. And my grandfather, he was one of my biggest fans. He'd come out and he'd yell at the ref and he'd do... Anyway, my brother ended up on a homeschool, a co-op soccer team. And that's different. It was different. And my grandfather didn't realize this. And so at his first game, he starts yelling at the ref, and he looked around, everybody's just staring at him like, what are you doing? But our crazy parents encouraged us, and they would cheer, right? And it was kind of embarrassing, but it kind of got us pumped up as well, right? We were the blast, and they'd be like, give me a B, and everybody'd be like, B, give me an L, and everybody'd be like, L. And then... at the end, go blast, and everyone. We won more games when they did that than when they didn't, right? We were encouraged. And that's what we have to be. We've got to cheer people up, right? And this has been going on here, right? You know, I've been dealing with some challenging things myself. But Kevin gave me a call this week, right? Kevin, you said you had a dream, right? And you just felt from that dream that you needed to call me and encourage me. I needed that. That was good, right? And Janelle, you becoming a member, and Marilyn, I was just going through the papers on my desk, and I came across a card you had written me a few months back, and that was encouraging. And so, and Dita just coming in with the joy of the Lord on her this morning, it's encouraging, right? And David needs encouragement, right? David's going through major health things, major things with his family. We need to be there to encourage one another. Yes. How does the book of Hebrews, how does this chapter encourage us? Do you remember what it said way back in verse 1? It says, therefore, holy brothers, partakers in the heavenly calling, consider the emissary and high priest of our confession, Yeshua. That is so encouraging. Let's break that apart. There's three things there. First of all, he called us holy. Second of all, he said, you are partakers in a heavenly calling. And then third of all, he says, remember Yeshua. That's it. That's how we encourage one another. Don't forget, you are holy. I'm saying this to you right now. I'm saying this to you, each one of you right now. If you have given your life to Yeshua, if you've received him, you are holy. I remember having a friend, I don't know if I knew it at the time. I don't think I did, or at least I didn't know the extent of it. We were just praying together once, and God just started speaking through me, and said, you are holy. The Lord sees you as holy. He just started weeping and weeping and weeping. I had no idea he had grown up under severe sexual abuse and saw himself as dirty, right? You are not dirty. The Lord sees you as holy. Isn't that encouraging? Take that in. The Lord has made you holy. Number one. Number two, you have a heavenly calling, right? And what does this mean? Some commentators say it means we're headed towards heaven. Some people say it means here and now we're living a heavenly calling. It means everything. It means all of that, right? You are getting dragged down by the things of the earth. You're getting dragged down by what people say. You're getting dragged down by what's going on in the world. You're getting dragged down by what's going on in your health. These are things of the earth that will come and go, right? Some of the things coming against me, my first inclination is go out there and defend myself. The Lord said, no, this is a passing wind. It's stuff of the earth. It's going to come. It's going to go. But you have a heavenly calling. And so I'm encouraging you, right now with that, you have a heavenly calling. You are called to something greater than the things that you are letting drag you down. You don't even understand. I don't even understand, but a fraction of the beauty and the glory. Right? What does it say in Romans chapter 8? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. Whatever you are suffering with, it's not going to compare to the glory you're going to receive. Amen. Be encouraged because you have a heavenly calling. You are holy. You are made holy by the Lord. You have a heavenly calling. And number three, that perfect emissary, that perfect high priest, Yeshua is with you, right? That's all the encouragement we ever need, right? Right? We don't need a cheerleading squad up here shouting out, go tikvat ami, right? We don't need that. We need to hear, you are holy, you have a heavenly calling, you're above this, not because you're better than everybody else. You're better, you're above this because he's given you a heavenly calling. You're holy, you have a heavenly calling, and Yeshua, the one who tasted of death and suffering for you, the one who rose and conquered it, look to him. Hebrews is going to keep saying, look to him, all right? Look to the author and finisher of our faith. Look to Yeshua who endured the cross for the joy set before him. Look to him. Lord my God, we worship you. We want to be those who stand firm to the end. We want to be those who persevere. We want to be those whose heart is the fertile ground that your seed landed in, that bears fruit, that doesn't fade away because Satan comes and snatches it away. We don't fade away because of persecution. We don't fade away because we're distracted by the deceitfulness of sin or riches or the cares of the world, Lord. We want to be the fertile ground. And we will do that in two ways. We will listen to your Holy Spirit as it speaks to us today. We will not harden our heart to the Holy Spirit. And we will exhort one another. In Yeshua's name. That's what we do. Those two things, we will stand firm to the end. Hebrews chapter 3, remember this. Number one, you listen to the Holy Spirit. You harden yourself to the Holy Spirit, you're in a bad place. Right? Doesn't mean that, you know, you do something, you're disobedient, you repent, that God's not going to forgive you. I'm not saying that, right? There's always place for repentance, but don't get into a habit of disobeying the Lord and failing to be submitted to the voice of His Spirit. Number one, we've got to listen to the Holy Spirit. And number two, we've got to encourage one another. And when we encourage one another, we remind ourselves, you're holy. You are set apart for a heavenly calling, and Yeshua is with you. In Yeshua's name we all say, amen. Amen.